Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the first Monday of February, and the first Monday always means Mortgage Monday. We are talking about home ownership with our mortgage expert, Jabir Najir of Rajon Mortgage. Good morning, Jabir. How are you?
I am doing good. Doing good. I appreciate you having me back again for Mortgage Monday.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out. Now, we are going to do a little bit something different toward the end, so just hang in there with me. But in the meantime, we're going to just get down to the real nitty-gritty, as they used to say. And we're going to talk a little bit about where the rates are, what, you know, what keeping them going, where they're going, and what we can do about them, so, or how we deal with them. So go ahead, Jabir, with that.
Right. Well, rates are definitely increasing, especially since the last time that we spoke. January was definitely a wild ride for the industry, where we saw some up days and some down days, but definitely more days with the rates going up than coming down. And a lot of that happens to be with the market pricing in the future increase for the Fed funds rate. So the Fed are planning to increase the rates on March 16th. They don't have an exact number on how much that increase could be. It could be an eighth of a point, but Powell did say that a half a point is not out of the question. Now, it is very important for people to keep in mind that the Fed's funds rate is not the interest rate that you'll be paying on the mortgage. So just because they increase it by a quarter of a point or half a point doesn't necessarily mean that your interest rate will be increased by that much. But that is the rate that the banks borrow money from other banks. So as you can imagine, if the banks are paying more to borrow money than that savings, or lack thereof, I guess I should say, that cost rather would actually be transferred to the borrower or whoever's borrowing the money. So usually once rates start to increase in one area, they kind of start to, you see it across the board. And when rates start to decrease in another area, not necessarily the same happens across the board right away, because rates usually fall slower than they increase. But overall, they are expecting rates to increase over the course of 2022. So if you're hoping that rates are going to come down, not saying that you won't see a few days where rates are lower than another day or the previous week, but overall, if you're look at a chart, the overall chart will be an upward trend, even though there may be some dips. Just like if you look at any stock, you know, no stock goes straight up or goes straight down. There's, you know, say some dips, but the overall trend may be going up, even though some days may be down. That's what the rates are going to be looking like this year.
But we still have to keep in mind that even though the rates are, you know, trending upward, they are still better. They are still better than they were, let's say, a couple years ago. You know, we had 5%, 6%, you know, 4% even. So, yes, it's still a good time to go ahead and make that home purchase. I still say it's better than renting for a variety of reasons. So,
yes,
anyway,
definitely agree.
So, you mentioned last time, I wanted to just to kind of go over them again, just the various, I guess, not necessarily programs, but I guess in let's say the FHA or whatever, that the levels had gone up in terms of what I guess can be covered in an FHA loan. Can you talk about that, please?
I don't think I quite heard the question. Can you say that one more time?
I was saying the last time we spoke, we talked about, I guess, an increase or a change in terms of what the, I guess, the maximums were for FHA loans and stuff.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't hear the full question there. Yeah, so both FHA and conventional loans, and when we say conventional, we're normally talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They actually all increase their minimum loan amounts, or maximum loan amounts, I'm sorry. So with over the last year, and I mean really 2 years, but the last year especially, where home prices have increased so much that some of the same homes that people were looking at to finance Fannie Mae or FHA, the purchase price increased so much that they no longer qualify for a conventional FHA loan. You had to go through some of the alternate programs, which many times required a larger down payment. So as of 2022, FHA increased the minimum loan amount for single-family residences. And keep in mind, FHA is different per county. So if you're in Central Florida versus South Florida, the minimum loan amount is different. Or max, I keep saying minimum. The maximum loan amount is different. So for Orange County or Central Florida, generally speaking, for a single-family residence is $420,680. For a duplex, it's $538,650. And for a triplex, it's $651,000. And for a quadruplex, it's $809,000. So depending on what purchase price range you're in, then, you know, that loan amount could change, the maximum loan amount. I know a lot of people are looking at single families, so the maximum if you're looking for FHA loan is $420,680. And if you're looking for a conventional loan, it's $647,200. So that has definitely increased quite a bit over the course of time. I remember when it was, I think it was like $417,000 or $420,000 years back. So, over the course of the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years now, it's increased over $200,000.
Go back and talk about something, because you mentioned not only single-family homes, which most people are interested in, but you mentioned quads and you mentioned duplexes and triplexes. We had a discussion with our economist, Paul Shelton of Warwick Shorter, on Friday about increasing wealth, especially in the African-American community, and how we – one of the things I mentioned was how we get money and we're not necessarily instructed on how to, you know, use it in order to, I guess, grow it. And so when we – one of the things that I will say is, being a realtor also and working with someone like Jabir, one of the important things is to look at the possibility of purchasing not necessarily a single-family home right off the bat, but purchasing a duplex or a triplex, a quad. And we say the quad because that's purchasing it with the intent in staying in one of the units. That way you are covered as it being your primary residence, and then you get a lower interest rate versus if you were purchasing as an investor and not staying in the unit. So you want to purchase it as your primary residence and stay in it initially. Even if you may have some intent and no one really needs to know what your plans are down the road, but, at least stay in it initially. And I think there is, though, a minimum period of time that you have to stay in a place with it, before moving. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. So typically it's 1 year, because if you're going to purchase a property as a primary residence, they want to make sure that, as you mentioned earlier, the rates are lower on a primary residence. They want to make sure that you do have the intention of living in the home. So if you move into a home and you move out 2 months later, you never move in, they're going to say, okay, you never really had a true intention if you decided to move out 2 months later. Now, there are situations where you can get around it. Say, for example, you purchase a home, and then you found out that you're going to have a new addition to the family 6 months later. And let's just say, for example, you purchased a one-bedroom condo or something like that. I'm just throwing something out there. Well, if the underwriter would expect that if you're going to have a newborn in the home, you have a one-bedroom home or condo, that you're going to need an additional bedroom. So in situations like that, you do have that exception. It's very rare that, but there are situations like that that may happen that you know, you have a family member that became sick and you don't have enough rooms to take to that family member that you're going to be moving into your home. So there are exceptions, but generally speaking, and you have to prove that. You just can't write a letter saying that. There has to be some type of proof that the current home that you intended to live in as your primary residence can no longer provide the needs that you initially thought it could. Now, for like you were mentioning, Gretchen, if somebody is purchasing a home and it's a duplex or a quad, that's usually the best suggestion I have for anybody who has a first-time home buyer, because if you know that's not going to be your final home, that's great. But you, especially FHA, you have an opportunity to move into purchase an investment property, really, if you think about it, for 3.5% down. The only requirement is that you have to live in the home for 1 year, then you could go purchase another home, and now you have an investment property sitting there that you put 3.5% down. Keep in mind that typically an investment property is anywhere from 15 to 20% down. And depending on the property, sometimes it could be 25%, but typically it's 15 to 20% down. For an investment property, you could get that for 3.5% down. Now, I know we're talking percentages, but just so people kind of have an idea of what this means dollar-wise, say that you were purchasing an investment property for $400,000. 20% down on $400,000 is $80,000. Now, if you were to purchase that investment property, a quadruplex, well, probably not getting a quadruplex to $400,000, but we'll stick on the $400,000 since we're already on that number. 3.5% down would be $14,000. So $14,000 versus $80,000, that's a huge saving. So you could purchase that property, and one thing with multi-unit properties is that if you have a single-family residence, there could be a time that the occupancy of that single family is zero. I have an investment property, and I remember whenever I was doing rehab on the property, and the period that nobody was in the home, I did not receive one single dollar for rent, which means that not only the rehab was out of my pocket, but the mortgage payments are out of my pocket. Now, if you have a duplex or a quadruplex, say that somebody moves out of one unit, you're still receiving rent from another unit. It could be anywhere from 1 to 3 units, depending on how many units you have in that property. Where if you have a single family residence, then if nobody's in there, you're not receiving any money, so it comes out of pocket. And a lot of times with a duplex, it's taking care of the majority of the mortgage, if not all of it. And if you have a triplex or a quadruplex, the other unit should hopefully cover all of the mortgage. So that's one of the benefits with that, and you could really set yourself up with a solid investment property for the future after you move out into your single family residence.
And then at this rate right now, I was hearing like one-bedroom apartments in this area are going like for around $1,600, $1,700 a month. And I'm saying to myself, wouldn't you rather be spending $1,600, $1,700 a month on something that you can actually make money off of versus just sink money into? That's my thought anyway. So... we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got a homework assignment for y'all. That's what we're going to do toward the end. We'll talk about that. But the thing we're going to talk about when we come back is, you know, in the Black community, there's a history of discrimination, redlining, eminent domain. The stories are coming out even to this day. So when we get back, we're going to talk about signs to look for if you think you're being discriminated against when you're wanting to get a mortgage for your home. So we're here with Jabir Najir of Rajan Mortgage. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. By the way, if you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the first Monday of the month, and that means it's Mortgage Monday here on G's Power Hour. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. We are doing something a little bit different today, so, you know, stay with us. We'll get to it. But one of the things that we are talking about, it is Black History Month, and one of the unfortunate parts of Black history is the constant discrimination against African Americans when it comes to home ownership, getting mortgages and whatnot. So we're going to try to get Jabir Najeer of Rajan Mortgage to help us out with some tips on how you may be able to tell whether or not you're being discriminated against. So go ahead, Jabir.
Sure. So one of the biggest things that makes it easier for banks in the past to discriminate is just basically the lack of education that a lot of people in the minority communities have when it comes to not only education, but the connections as well that they have when it comes to getting a mortgage. I just think back in 2004 to 2010, especially during the subprime era, that a lot of people who actually qualified for Fannie Mae and FHA loans actually put into these subprime mortgages. And the way the banks actually did it is actually they kind of sold you on, even if you had a good profile that could qualify for another loan, on why your situation is a riskier situation. And they had like what they used to call like band-aid loans or a loan to put you into a better position later on. And these other loans on the back end that a lot of buyers have no idea is that these loans, when the banks sell these loans on the back end because they're higher interest rate loans, they would make a lot more money. So really one of the biggest things is to basically have education on the programs that are out there. And there's so much information when it comes to online now than there was back then. Even though these situations still happen, don't get me wrong, it's probably not as easy now as back then not because banks can't do it, but because homeowners or buyers ask me a lot more questions. But when it comes to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loans or FHA or VA loans, those are always going to be some of the best programs for you to get into because they're going to offer lower fixed interest rates. And if for some reason a bank is not putting you to one of those loans, then you really need to ask what is the reason why you don't qualify for that loan. But not only accept that, but also if they're not willing to if they give you some information that you don't feel happy with, not that you accept, but if you don't truly feel happy, go to another bank and ask, or just ask somebody else within, you know, your community, whether it's a church, a network, an organization, whatever. Say, hey, you know, I'm looking to purchase a home or refinance a home, and this is what I was quoted. Not necessarily saying you have to give that person all of your paperwork, but just have a general conversation with them, especially if there's somebody who have purchased multiple homes before or just have any experience in the real estate industry, because they may be able to, just from a conversation, find out where you're not necessarily being pointed in the right direction for your financing. Also, when it comes to looking at homes, there are many times where an agent may try to push a family into a certain area because they either have profiled them to just assume that this is what that family could afford, or they may have already profiled that family and say, this family does not deserve to be in this community. So that is 100% illegal. But if you are looking online and these properties your agent is not showing you that you request it, then you can actually report them as well. So you can report mortgage brokers to the NMLS, and you could report realtors to the board. I don't remember the name of the board right now, but perhaps you could help me out there. If you feel that you want to look at a certain type of home, or you believe that you have a certain mortgage you should qualify for, and that you're being steered in the wrong direction if you know you could qualify with another bank. But another thing I will say, though, is that I've also had people who got turned down at another bank, and whenever I speak to them, a lot of times they don't want to start the process with me because, like, you already tried it and I got turned, and they feel defeated. And when I ask them what was the reason for why they got turned down, a lot of times they don't know why they got turned down. If they take credit, ask them what their credit score is, they have no idea what their credit score is. If it was due to debt income ratio, and ask them what their debt income ratio was, they have no idea. And sometimes certain banks may tell you that because they just don't want to finance your loan, and they say, your debt income ratio. Or sometimes they have tighter restrictions. They may only allow to a 45% debt-to-income ratio when Fannie Mae allows you to go to 50%. So a lot of times they may just tell you that, and they may not go over the numbers with you. So it's very important for you to understand the details of why you weren't qualified. Don't just know you had a DTI issue. Ask them, say, okay, I didn't qualify based on my debt-to-income ratio. What was my debt income ratio, and what is the max that your bank allows? That way you have a better understanding of your situation, because I have definitely financed a lot of people, probably hundreds if not thousands, but I definitely say minimum hundreds, that over the years that have been declined by a retail bank or just a bank in period, and have come to me and I was able to get them financed. So really the thing is to ask questions, do research on the program that they're putting you in, and just speak to those who you trust around you to see what their experience is when it comes to lending. And if not, just you can always give me a call. And if you decide you're not going to use me, you say, hey, Jabir, you know, this bank is putting me in this type of loan. I don't feel comfortable with it. I'll let you know if it's something that seems right or not. And there are situations in the past where somebody has come to me and say, hey, Jabir, I'm so far down the line with this company, but I'd like to, you know, I don't think it's right. And they've come to me and I've let them know, like, I can help you, but I can only give you what that bank is giving you based on your situation. I'll let them know why that bank put them in that situation and that bank is actually doing a good job. So not sure if that helped or not, but those are some of the ways to find out if you're being put in the right position or not.
That does help. And then also, too, we've got to remind people to, you know, it's nothing wrong with talking to more than one person. That's just like when you go to the grocery store and you shop, and you look at labels, and you look at prices, you know, and you compare, you know, because eventually it is your money. You're going to be responsible for whatever money that you get from the mortgage company. So you need to do some comparison shopping so you know what you're going to be responsible for. So don't be afraid to compare. That's just my take on it. Anything that we need to be looking at in particular in the next month or so with regards to rates or any type of policy changes possibly or anything that we need to stay on top of, Jabir?
Well, as far as policy changes, there's not really much on the table right now as far as policy changes in lending. But rates are definitely something that we are going to see. It's going to be something that's going to shake up the market a little bit over the next, at least the first half of the year. I'm not saying rates aren't going to increase after that, but I think the first half of the year is going to help the whole industry understand where the market's going to go. And when I say first half of the year, I think that by April, maybe May, we pretty much should have understanding what the rest of the year is going to have in hold for us, in store for us. So definitely look out for rates. If you see something, a rate that you like, lock it in. I know we're all hopeful. I mean, even me as a broker looks at rates literally every day. I get alerts on my phone literally every hour on the hour from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock every day to search that paper just to make sure I don't miss anything. And I'm always hopeful because, trust me, there's nothing better if I was able to offer a client 2% interest rate today instead of, you know, rates are in the mid-threes and some Fannie Mae rates are in the higher threes. Trust me, a 2% will make me look like a hero. And I'm hopeful. I really do want to give you the lowest rate, but we have to face reality, you know, that we're in an increasing rate environment. So if you see something you like, then grab onto it. If not, you're truly paying. You are truly gambling. And sometimes you're gambling not to save as much as you think. I know sometimes we get so caught up in the rate. Like, people really want a 2.99% as opposed to a 3%. And when they really look at what they're really gambling sometimes to save $10 to $15 per month. And if they get the gamble wrong and the increase have a sharp increase, it could cost them $50 more a month. So you have to really understand, you know, as I said, we get caught up so much in the rate that sometimes we don't really look into what that rate means when it comes to payment. So if you see a rate that you like and a payment you're comfortable with, my suggestion for anybody out there is to just go ahead and lock it in. If you're in the process of either refinancing or if you're in the process of purchasing, sometimes the gamble isn't worth it. I will definitely say that because over the first couple weeks of this year, I think that anybody who has been in the market will probably agree with me.
So you did tell us, Jabir, if we had questions or concerns or we wanted information that we could contact you. So how do we get you?
You could contact me by email, J-A-B as in boy, I-R, at Riajan, R-I-A-J-A-N.com. Or you can contact me by cell, 321-239-5814. You could call me, you could text me, and just let me know what your question may be or if you just want to set up a time to speak in further detail. And we will make that happen for you.
Thank you so much. Now, what I'm doing is something a little bit different today on this Mortgage Monday, and I hope you will participate. So I came across and pulled some articles last week for today, and I am giving you a half hour of the show, and hopefully you'll take that half hour or maybe even more and look at some of the stuff that I'm posting on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. This is your homework assignment because we are talking about Black history. Like they always say, those that don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. And we're not necessarily talking about history way off years and years ago decades ago or hundreds of years ago. I mean, some of this stuff has happened within the last few years. So I am posting articles and links about discrimination in home ownership. And I would challenge you to take the next half hour that you would normally be listening to the show and read over what I've posted for you, or you know, at least set aside some time and another time to go over it. Some of these are very recent, you know, and some of these, you know, are a little earlier, but a lot of stuff has not changed, and that's quite unfortunate. And what I would challenge you is to, and what I'm saying to you is, if you can't find a half an hour in the course of this week to at least read one or more of these articles, and use the information when you are making decisions about home ownership, whether it's the best way to retain the home that you have or to move forward and get another home, you're not serious about it. You're not serious about increasing your wealth. You're not serious about leaving a legacy for those that will come after you or after us. So this is my challenge for you. This is your homework assignment. And what I think I would like to do is to hear from people next month when we have Jabir on next Mortgage Monday, which is the first Monday in March. I would like to hear from some of you in terms of whether or not you read anything, whether you've seen anything, whether you put anything into practice that may be of benefit to you, not only to yourselves, but other people that are listening. So this is my challenge to you. Take what Jabir has said. Take what we're presenting on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Go over it, absorb it, pass it along, and get back to us at the next Mortgage Monday. So Jabir, thanks again for stepping in today and hopefully talk with you next month. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Just because the show is over doesn't mean the work is over. So please take some time to go over it. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
make it all right.